Welcome back, listeners. We're glad you are here. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hi, everyone. Hopefully you're doing great.
Today we have a really, I really like this particular subject because it, being someone who's a teacher, someone who enjoys learning, it's about studying your significant other.
That's always something that you should be doing in a relationship.
Now, why is it important to study? Well, the reason is this is a way you get to know someone. So it's going to sound a little scientific method, you know, wouldn't you say, Lise?
Yeah, I would say so. Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, it's
but
a little.
We'll try to make it interesting.
Yeah, we're going to try to make it a little interesting. Now, it's not, to specifically put, when you are going to take the philosophy that love takes work. And I'll be honest, I consider it an absolute truth. You're going to have to put work into it. And the work into this is studying this person that you are falling in love with. Because you really got to answer the question, why do you love them?
That's something that you definitely want to think about is, you know, what makes you love them? What are they? What do they do? Who are they that makes you really love them?
And not only just love them, this is where the mind part comes in. You got to ask yourself, are you even compatible with them? Because the reality is, you know, people are not perfect. Lisa, am I perfect?
No.
Yeah, not at all. Now, I'm smart enough not to ask the question the other way. But the reality is, none of us are perfect. And if you're going to merge your life with another person, you got to get to know what you're getting into. Now, this is true in every aspect of our life. If you are a person who believes in God, then you got to get to know who God is. What is his character? What is said about him? What does he say about himself? This is part of getting to know someone. Same thing with politics. You know, if you're going to follow a certain politician, you know, why are you going to follow them? You're going to study them. You're going to see what has been written about them. What do I notice when they're in an interview or talking, or what are their policies?
Or so what and so decisions far. They make
yeah.
On policies or what they've done in their life, even you want to look at and see what makes them tick the way that they and how they've made their decisions.
You know, this also is also true about a job. You know, if you're going to be in a lot of ways, when you're getting interviewed by an employer, you know, there's a little bit of an interview going back because
right.
just because
Absolutely.
You're wanting a job does not mean you're necessarily compatible
right.
for that job or even compatible to work under that particular boss.
There's been job interviews that I've gone into and asked one or two questions and been like, you know what, this isn't going to be a good fit for me. And I think the other way around for, you know, employers as well, that's why they have the interview to begin with, is to get to know you a little bit and to study you and vice versa. You study them and find out what their policies are and what they are expecting or wanting from you.
And if you're going to be committed to any one of these things, you're going to have to constantly study. You're going to see, you know, how have things have changed? How are things different? Or what are the challenges? And do I still want to continue with this? And if you're committed, then you got to adjust. It is no different in relationships. You know, everyone loves the movies about people getting together and then living happily ever after. Well, a lot of that is Hollywood.
Hello, Disney.
Yeah. A lot of that is Hollywood. The reality is do they stay together? Are they putting in the work to actually make the marriage work? And studying each other, their nuances, their interests, what they like, what they don't like, really does help you bond with them, but it also lets you know how to interact with them.
Absolutely. There's a few that you would want to do is like learning their interests. What are they interested in? What do they like? What do they not like? Do they like sports? Do they like, you know, going out in nature? Do they like being a gamer? Do they like reading books? All of those things you want to kind of figure out.
This is what's good about studying them. Because when you study them, as my wife has put it, you know, you find out what's their interests. And you want to take note of that. But here's the kind of cool thing about it. You know, when you study someone else, you might find some interest. You know, if you, you know, let's face it, when you meet someone, it's a lot of times it's their visual cues that attracted you. You know, they might be good looking or handsome. Even if you talk to them a little bit, they may say a few things where their best foot's forward and you're realizing, yeah, I think I like this person. Mm-hmm. Well, as you get to know them and you find out they're into rock climbing. You never right. were, but they were. And you might be smart enough to say, okay, I will go on this first date with you, or maybe I'll invite you to go on this date because now that I know your interest, and come to find out you love rock climbing.
Right. I mean, I know for me, when we first started kind of dating, getting to know each other, you know, I found out that you liked racquetball. And I mean, you know me, I'm not great at sports, or I don't feel that I'm great at sports. But we started doing it, and, you know, I was able to make a new friend out of it. And I was also able to find that I actually kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, and you didn't really like sports to begin with.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
And even rock climbing. We did rock climbing together, and I'm such a perfectionist that I wasn't sure if I was going to like it, but I actually did. I actually enjoyed it.
So when you study another person and you find their interest, you might discover a new interest for yourself. And, you know, there's nothing kind of more bonding when something that you're into, someone becomes interested in, and then they want to do it with you.
And then you're able to learn to share that interest together.
Yeah. And then you develop a shared interest. So this is all the great stuff about studying someone. What do they like? What are they into? Because if you're able to find a shared interest, because you might be into that too, or you might find a new interest and grow as a person. So studying people is a really great way just to learn about yourself and learn about the world. But it's also very important to grow as a couple. You know, when you study someone, you also get to learn who they are and how they receive love.
Yep, absolutely. Now, so you have your five love languages,
which are not new. I mean, you know, you can find 100 podcasts and you can find information on this. The person who coined this is Dr. Gary Chapman. I encourage you, find this book. He has five love languages. He also has a compliment book that's the five apology languages.
That's actually a really good book. To figure out how people accept apologies and how you even accept an apology.
Which is all part of studying them. But to stick it, to go back to the love part, you know, he broke things down that people usually receive love in five different ways. Now, you can have a mix of these, and we're just going to briefly go through them, but I encourage you to get the book to really discover more. Because when you study someone and you want to show them love, you know, it's good to figure out, how do they receive love? You know, one of them is, are they gift people? You know,
I mean, are they wanting, a gift can be anything as small as, hey, I got your, you know, favorite candy bar, or I got you a favorite coffee, or as big as, hey, we, you know, I'm going to take you on this trip, or, you know, I got you this nice necklace or flowers, or for guys, I don't know, what would you suggest for a gift for gift? Think.
A lot of time it's food.
Food, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So candy bar, go back to the candy bar, favorite chips, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's food. But you can usually identify these gift people because they always keep anything they were ever given, or even a portion of it or a token of it. If you ever go into someone's house and they got a bunch of knickknacks and little things everywhere, before you start calling them a hoarder, which they very well might be, start asking them. And if they could tell you, you know, what that item was and who gave it to them and what they were doing and what it meant to them, then you could probably come to a conclusion like, oh yeah, these are gift people. You know, you have people who receive love by acts of service. And, you know, in other words, they feel loved when people do things for them. I'm not saying be their slave, but it could be something as small as take out the trash, helping them change a tire.
Or do the dishes.
Yeah.
Or change the oil in their car.
Help them carry their books, you know. Their bags, whatever it is, that's how they show love and even receive love. Words of affirmation. They need to hear nice things. They need to hear nice things about themselves. They need to be encouraged.
And how you care about them, if you love them, if you are proud of them.
They love little texts. They love little notes. They're the ones who truly actually read the birthday card.
Yes.
You know, or the Christmas card. You know, I have to tell you guys, when I get a card, I'm not a words of affirmation person, But it's like, you give me a card, I will stare at it for about 7 seconds and then make a smile, but I didn't actually read the card because I honestly don't care, you know?
Yeah, I've found that it's a waste of money to get him a card.
But that's not how I receive love. But at the same time, I've known people where I've given them cards that I just haphazardly wore, and they've put it in their keepsakes.
Right.
You know, that's just who they are. So some people receive love by words of affirmation. Others are quality time. They just need to spend time with a person. Mm-hmm. They could be perfectly happy if you are, hey, let's sit and watch Netflix together.
Right.
You know, they're the ones who usually get frustrated if they don't get to spend enough time with someone.
Or even just having a conversation with them about how their day went is sometimes a huge one for people with quality time. They just want to have that time with their significant other.
And then you got touch. Some people are touch people. They need their hands held. They need that hug. They need that pat on the back. Sometimes with boys, you know, they're the ones who always want to wrestle around and fight, you know. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of how they do it. Girls might even be teasing each other, you know, when they kind of get physical that way, but there's always an affection piece to it.
If you have a friend that's constantly touching someone, that's definitely a touch person for sure.
Yeah. But this podcast is not really about the love languages. Well, we wanted to bring that out of as a factor of, you got to study this person that you are falling in love with, because it's not about you. See, you're going to catch a theme in here. If you're both studying each other, then you're both of your needs are going to be getting met. Because sometimes I think a lot of people enter into a relationship and they're studying this person of, what can I get from them? Right. Well, they're pretty. They're affectionate. They got money. They got whatever. Okay. You can fill whatever that blank is. But
they're not actually realizing what.
What they really need. Or what that the other person really wants.
Right. They're not realizing what they need or want because they're so focused on what they can get from that person.
Because when you study another person, you're basically trying to show them that you love them. And a healthy relationship, it's going both ways. And a mature relationship, depending on the challenges of life, you know, one person might need to take the load more than the other. But that's a different discussion for a different time. The point of this is that we study other people, we study our significant other, so we best know how to show them love. And yes, it takes work.
It does. I have found with Joe that if he is getting dizzy, I know I need to get him something to eat right away. And I've gotten to the point where I kind of know when to get him stuff, even without really talking to him, because I've studied him and know, you know, he sometimes gets low blood sugar and I have to get it up really quickly.
With my wife, when she's having a stressful day, getting her favorite coffee from Starbucks, which again, I had to study her on that. Because that's like a final in and of itself.
It's true, because I've changed over the years of what I like and what I don't like.
But I've learned that eases her stress. So she has a stressful day. Being thought of in that way shows her that she's loved even on a hard day. So there's a lot of good things to study out of the person. But when you study a person, you're not just looking for all their strengths that you can appreciate, their, you know, the way they do things. It is good to study them and be impressed by those things. But here's the reality. No one's perfect. Everyone has weaknesses. Everyone has character flaws. And you need to study those to have a mature relationship as well. But there's a lot of good things in studying the weaknesses in another person. I'm a firm believer, and this is a hill that I'll die on. You cannot, you know, and I want you guys to hear this very carefully. If you're in a relationship right now, and if I were to ask you a question, what are the weaknesses of your spouse? What are the weaknesses of the person you're engaged to? What are the weaknesses of the person you are dating? And you cannot list one. You have no business looking at marriage or getting married. Let me say that again. If you cannot list the weaknesses in your significant other, you are not ready for marriage. Why am I saying that? Why do you think I say that, Lisa?
Well, I'm gonna chime in to say that if you don't know their weaknesses, you're looking at it with rose-colored glasses. And you really need to know both. Because if you don't, you're going to get into an engagement or in a marriage situation, and you're going to have a real rude awakening to find out, oh, I thought that this was cute, and now it's not. And that's not a good situation to get yourself into. You got to know before you get married so that you know what to expect, and you can encourage them and help them along in maybe those weaknesses, but you're not trying to change them.
That's really important, because when we're saying study and figure out their weaknesses, it's not in the effort of, oh, I can change that. No, that's a trap in and of itself.
Right.
It's more in the effort of, I know who this person really is, and I love them anyways. That's Absolutely. Really the goal. Because if you cannot list the weaknesses in your significant other, you really don't know them as a person. And as my wife says, it could be dangerous, you know, especially if you're entering into marriages. But you also got to realize everyone has a weakness.
Because remember, when you get into a marriage, you relax, and then it becomes, honestly, 10 times worse when you see it.
Yeah. And sometimes that can be really jarring for you. But if you study the person and you recognize their weaknesses, you recognize the fact that their weaknesses will affect you. And it is going to, it's going to affect you, because their choices will affect your life. But not all negativity or weaknesses are bad. So I don't want you guys to read into that, because when you recognize a person's weakness, you can actually ask yourself, am I going to still be committed to this person? Can I live with this for the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. And is there ways that I can be a strength for them in those weaknesses? Because you see, when you learn someone's weaknesses, you also that also gives you an idea of where the line and boundary is. For example, you know, I already talked to my wife about this, but she's, you know, she struggles with insecurity about her looks. Now, because of who I am, we'll get sarcastic, we'll tease each other. I'll tease her about her cooking. I'll tease her about the fact that she's addicted to Starbucks.
And my Starbucks order.
But in studying her and knowing that she is insecure, I don't get sarcastic about her looks or how things fit on her. You know, I even cringe when she's asking me for honest, you know, feedback. You know, because I know that's a weakness, that doesn't mean I treat her with kid gloves. It just means I don't cross certain boundaries.
No, there's definitely, I don't feel like you treat me with kid gloves. Maybe in that instance you do, just because you know how sensitive I am to that. But you're pretty honest when it comes to things.
Now, some of those things I had to learn the hard way.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is by studying her and recognizing that's a weakness in her, I can be a strength by supporting her and reminding her about how beautiful she really is.
And he did learn that the hard way, because when I was pregnant the first time.
Oh, this is an awful story.
He came up and I was starting to develop a little bit of a belly because.
No, you were fully 8 months pregnant at the time.
I was not 8 months pregnant. I was not that big.
You were 7 or 8.
I don't know about that. But anyways, he came up because I want to say I was just starting to show maybe 5 or 6 months. And he came up and went, oh, my chubby little wife. And I burst into tears.
Yeah, I thought I was being cute and I was very, very wrong.
Yes, very wrong. It took him a long time to get past that.
Yeah. So.
And I was pregnant, so you can imagine how much more emotional I was.
So, you know, I learned something that day, you know. Sometimes we got to learn the hard way. But, you know, when you study people, you can, even though that's a good memory and a good, you know, kind of
example.
funny example, you know, if I studied a little bit more, I could have avoided what could have been a potentially damaging comment.
Right.
You know. And when you study someone, you can start better predicting how a person is going to react into a situation. But you can just kind of scoff at it, but it's so you can support them. If you are in love with someone who's more of an introvert and you studied how they deal in big groups, know that if you have to go to a work party or if you have to go somewhere where, you know,
where they have to come along,
you know well enough to know not to leave them alone or to set up a situation where they feel safe in a big group. You know, yeah, we can sit here and criticize and saying, well, you should be able to handle yourself. Well, that's not for you to do.
You're supposed to support them in it, not necessarily criticize them.
And if you study them and you know that this is a hard thing for them to do, then you set them up for success instead of failure without criticism. That doesn't mean you don't help each other grow, which, you know, later on down, we'll talk about influencing each other. But if you study someone and you know they're weak in a certain areas, then you know how they're going to react to a certain situation, mm-hmm. which might help you to choose your words correctly, to come up with a plan of how to support them.
I'll give you an example. If you know that your significant other or husband has come home from work and has had a really hard day, then and you know that he's going to be really stressed, then you know that you should be ready with, you know, his favorite drink or, you know, maybe ready to give him a back massage or whatever it might be to relax him and to cause him to be able to feel supported.
And the same thing goes around the same way. If you know your wife's coming home from the office or from a job or that's a very stressful, then you know you make her favorite dinner. You know, make sure the house is cleaned, where, you know, that the kids are taken care of so they don't feel like they actually have to have more stress that day. You know, it goes both ways, and it's very important to kind of see that. And so when you can predict a situation, you can take care of each other, and it's one of the best ways you can love someone. You know, understanding each other's weaknesses also helps in conflict resolution. You know, I think we touched on this before where, you know, if one's a processor, maybe it's better that they deal with things right away. But if that's not who they are.
Processors has to think about the problem.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. I may have shot through that. What I mean is that if they're a processor, but you believe that they need to deal with it right away.
Right.
You know, even if you're right, who cares? Are you going to actually make the conflict find some resolution by pushing them or leaving them alone for a bit? You know?
That doesn't mean that you don't discuss it, but it just means that you give them a little bit of time to kind of think through it and then even maybe plan a time when you guys can actually talk about it.
But you may never actually enact that plan if you don't know that about them.
Right.
And you only know of that about them if you study them.
And that will cause them to, if you push it, then it causes them to shut down and you may not be able to talk or deal with that situation at all, because you've pushed them and caused them to shut down.
And all these things can be lessened by studying each other. Absolutely. So this is another one in terms of conflict resolution. Studying how your partner deals with conflict helps you to address conflict. You know, this is this way. And you might be sitting here saying, well, I hate how they address conflict. You're absolutely right. But do you want to be right or do you want to have a relationship? Because if you want to have a relationship, then you're going to meet them where they're at. Mm-hmm. And they should meet you where you're at, too. And hopefully a compromise can be found, because this is a two-way street. But it does take one of you to do the work. Yep. You know, it takes both of you to do the work to have maturity. But it got to start somewhere. Last but not least, you know, it helps you to understand who they are. When you understand their weaknesses, you know, and you study them, it might figuring out why they are the way they are. If they're insecure, maybe they came from a real critical family where looks were always criticized and looked down on. Now Are always important. You might be saying, well, you need to stop worrying about what other people think. Again, you're right. But if you understand that they came from a household where that was always emphasized, well, you're not going to break, you know, 20, 25 years in a year of a relationship with you.
Right. Exactly. It's, and I mean, I think that you've experienced that sometimes of how things happened in my childhood is why I am the way I am, and vice versa. Yep. I've had the same thing with you. I mean, I know when your dad moved in, it helped me a lot more even to understand who you were and what happened in your childhood a little bit more.
It's like, why are you angry all the time? And then you meet the parents, you're like, oh, I get it now.
Now I understand.
But that's the negative parts. There's also good things too. I mean, you can, you know, studying your spouse and where they came from helps you to also appreciate, you know, the good things about them. So it does go both ways. Understanding and studying a person's weaknesses is not so you can throw it in their face or that you have, you know, something against them or a way to justify your behavior. Studying their weaknesses is A, so you know who they really are as a person, and then determine, are you committed enough to love and support them anyways? Because the reality is that when you look at marriage, yeah, get married because they're beautiful, that they're an awesome person, that you love them. But always, there's always a piece of the pie that basically says that you have to ask yourself the question, am I willing to live with this for the rest of my life? And if the answer is yes, then walk down that aisle.
Absolutely. And if you find that it's not something that you are, that you feel that you can live with, then that's when you might need to take the step of, okay, this isn't going to work out, or even taking a break. I know that we've had a couple of times where we've talked about breaks, and me and him still discuss whether it was a breakup or a break. And if you've heard that podcast, then you know what we're talking about. But it definitely helped us assess, okay, is this the person that I really feel God or universe or whatever has for me? And it definitely helped us to get a clearer view of who the person, who Joe was for me and who I was for him, and whether we could live with the weaknesses we saw and the positives we saw. And we were able to, obviously, 15 years later, figure out that we were.
And studying does not end once you're getting married. You have to continue to study each other as you are married, you know, from that, from your wedding day on, because people grow, people develop, mm-hmm. people change. You know, when I first met my wife, caramel macchiatos was her thing. Now it's iced vanilla coffee. You know, if I just assume, well, I landed the role, I'm good, and I don't study her, then we're going to continuously grow apart.
Right.
And when you study each other as you're married, you grow more and more together. You start developing a framework to grow together. So you start appreciating the good things, and then you start figuring out how to support each other in the weaknesses.
And I will say, one example that I was thinking about is when I first got married to you, I didn't really have a lot of anxiety. And in the last couple of years, anxiety's really come up for me. And so we even a while ago had to have a conversation about, you know what, I'm really dealing with anxiety right now, and kind of sharing that weakness with him so that he could learn more how to help me, because what he was doing at the time was not helping me. And so when I actually had that conversation and shared that with him, he was able to then realize that he needed to change some things. So sometimes you need to know, okay, I'm having a weakness that I didn't realize I had, and share that with your spouse or significant other so that they know and support you.
We all change and we all grow and we all get older. Some things we were strong at, we may not be strong at anymore. And if you study your spouse enough, you might be able to recognize when those changes come and then help them through it. Now, this, what I just said, for a lot of you who are dating or engaged, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even see it. Well, if you did the work and you did the work to love each other, that will be a obstacle you will come with later down in your marriage. So that's something I just kind of want to give to you, put it in the attic, pull it out when it's time. Mm-hmm. But studying each other helps you through all the different stages of life. And if you can do it now in your dating life and in your engagement life and your first few years of marriage, you're building this framework, this machine mm-hmm. that will just continuously build love between you two and really create real intimacy, real commitment, which, to be perfectly honest, is what this world needs. The whole reason we started this podcast is we just see so many couples either don't know how to put in the work or not even put in work. They're assuming that it just should come in a nice, neat little package, and bam, there's my loving relationship. It takes work. So let's look at, well, how do you study each other? It's really, really quite simple here. So how do you study them? First one, watch them. I'm not talking being creepy where you're hiding in a bush or, you know, while they sleep, you stand over them and breathe heavy, okay?
Yeah, don't do that. That'll just freak them out.
Yeah, yeah. That's not what I mean by watching them. But on some level, yeah, watch them. You know, put down the phone, get your eyes off the TV, you know. Don't be so distracted. Take the earbuds out, even though those are your ears. It's amazing how that will, like, distract you. And pay attention to your significant other. What? One, you're never going to have that moment in time again. So create the video in your mind. Create that image in your mind of, you know, your loved one going out for a walk or doing sports or working or, you know, speaking at some sort of engagement or even studying for work, and watch them, all their little
nuances,
body language, right. What made them smile, what made their nose crinkle, you know, what made them look so serious. And those are memories that you don't want to rob yourself of.
Okay, so I'm thinking of a movie that is an older movie, and if you've never seen it, it's a little inappropriate, but it's an amazing movie. It's called When Harry Met Sally. And when I think back on it, and when Billy Crystal finally tells her that that he loves her, spoiler alert, he was able to tell her different little things that he knew of her just because he watched her and he really studied her and knew, you know, little things that made her really quirky that he really loved about her. And that's how he was able to kind of tell her how much he loved her. And I always picture that scene when I think about, you know, studying your partner and really thinking about it. And I also want to bring out the fact of, when you see couples that can actually look at each other and know what they're thinking, that really tells you that they've studied each other and that they know each other in and out and know, I mean, to the point where they can almost communicate with each other just by looking at each other.
Yeah, even with a touch. I've seen older couples where the wife actually, you know, the husband will be talking. You can see he's getting kind of, you know, upset about something, and then she mm-hmm. touches his arm and then he calms down.
Right.
It's like, you know, she knows him well enough to saying, hey, you're about to make an ass of yourself. And then,
let's,
you know,
not go there.
And she saved him from it. You know, right. These are, as you put it, relationship goals.
Right.
But how do you get there? You study. How do you study? Watch him first and take note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be creepy about the watching. Watch him first though. And when you watch them, you know, remember all those little things. How do they like their coffee? Is it cream? Is it vanilla cream? Is it 2%? You know, you'll be amazed that it's those little things that you picked up in studying them that really is the glue that binds a relationship.
I think it means a lot to, especially coming from a woman's perspective, it means a lot when someone can understand the little things that make me happy or make me, you know, able to handle things better. You know, if you remember those little things, I think that's a huge part of studying them and understanding who they are as a person.
And then after you remember those little things, ask questions at the appropriate time. Now, what do I mean by that? You don't want to embarrass someone, and you know, in front of people. You know, if you see someone who always picks the chocolate off of a chocolate chip cookie and you ask in front of a bunch of people, I'm like, why do you do that? You know, they may not know how to take it and they might get embarrassed, you know, or let's say it's a negative situation and, you know, you're at a restaurant and your significant other all of a sudden snaps at the waitress, you know, they snap at the waitress, you know, in front of the waitress is not the time to go, hey, why are you biting her head off, you know, or like throwing it at them.
Right.
Again, that could create conflict.
Cause the person to get even more defensive and it could cause a big fight between you two if you don't ask the questions later.
Yeah. So asking the question at the appropriate time, brings conversation. It helps you to learn more about them. Maybe, you know, with the restaurant thing, you know, you're saying, you're going to say, you know, I had a bad day at work. Maybe I shouldn't have snapped at him that way. Or maybe they'll tell you, it's like, hey, I don't think you realized that person was flirting with you and I had enough of it. Well, you just learned something that day that you can actually address and figure out, you know, and you learned it in a way because you asked the question at an appropriate time. Or even if it's a cue thing, you asked them at a time where it doesn't bring embarrassment onto them about their silly, quirky ways.
Right.
You know, so when you study someone, you want to watch them, you want to take note, you want to remember those little things, and then you want to ask questions on things you may not fully understand about them, but you want to do it at the appropriate time. Then, go ahead.
Because it's important to know those things so that you know if they've had a bad day or if they're snappy. And knowing that will help you to be able to support them in a different way, like we were talking about with a touch or, you know, just kind of whatever, giving them something that might calm them down so that you know how to handle that situation if it arises again.
And then you want to try to meet their needs and desires. So after you study them, then, you know, hey, give yourself a little pop quiz. You know, get them coffee, you know, saying, hey, I think they're stressed today. Let me get them coffee and then see how they react. You know, you'll know if you did it right or not by the way that they react, and then learn and adjust. If you brought them coffee and they're like, oh, I don't like hot coffee, I like cold coffee on these days, then, you know, and you learned, and hopefully, you know, the person's gracious about it. Don't take those types of failures as a criticism on you, because people ebb and flow, learn and study and enjoy the process. This is the person that you are committing to. So get to know what makes them tick, both the good, the bad, the indifferent. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't address things that are negative. You know, yeah, address them. You guys got to find some sort of compromise, and people right. should change. Later, we'll talk about influencing each other, helping each other grow as a human being. Mm-hmm. But what this whole point of this podcast is do the work, ladies and gentlemen. Learn about each other. Enjoy learning about each other, because you might learn some things about yourself, and you might be able to create a framework that is going to be able to build the best possible way to grow as a couple.
I would even give a little suggestion of if you're in a car or you're on a road trip or even on the phone, giving each other 20 questions of anything you can think of. What's your favorite animal? You know, how do you like your coffee? What's your favorite drink? Little things like that, that would really help you to know what makes them tick, what they like, what they don't like. I found that that's really been a good, it's been a good kind of game or just activity to kind of help you understand who the person is and will help you along in studying your partner.
I think that's a great exercise here. And you know what? We're going to end with that because I think that is perfect right there. Ladies and gentlemen, be a student of your significant other.
All right, that's all for today, and let us remember, love is not just of the heart,
but also of the mind.
If you enjoyed this podcast and realize that you and your future spouse could benefit from some premarital coaching, check us out on facebook.com/HM Premarital or search
Heart and Mind Premarital. There you will find a list of services and costs that might suit your needs. The first 30-minute session is free to ensure that we are a good fit. And if we are, we will continue from there. Give your marriage a fighting chance of survival and receive some premarital coaching today. Check us out on facebook.com/H&M Premarital.